Are you glad you're here today? I'm really glad you're here. Thank you for coming out today. We're in the fourth week of a message series on awakening our lives to the best life that God has for us. There are a lot of people, it seems to me, that they're waiting for life to be yet ahead of them. And I believe that God has a great life for you. Your best life is now. And so on the first week of this year, we began to talk about waking up to the power of praying, the power of praying big prayers. Prayers that really require us to, it would require God to do something big or there would be failure, but praying big faith prayers. The second week, Pastor Philip talked about praying with childlike faith, not childish faith, not selfish faith, but praying with childlike faith. There are a lot of people that I know that they're believing God, but the stuff that they're believing God for, it's really selfish driven. And so this is really faith. It really has to do with the kingdom of God. Last week, we talked to you about awakening to the work of the Holy Spirit and that he comes and sets us free from the chains that bind us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of that today. Today, I want to talk to you about awakening to the confidence that God has for you, walking in the confidence that God wants you to walk in. It seems to me in lives, in a lot of people, when I talk to them and even when I watch people on television, there are many times when people that appears that they have confidence, people that you would think that they have no sense of insecurity or no sense of lack of self-esteem, but they still walk in some sense of insecurity. Supermodels. It's amazing to me to see supermodels that have insecurities about the way they look. You know, you're a supermodel, you know? I'm like, I can't imagine that they'd have those insecurities, but they do. Even wealthy businessmen, it's often my observation that many of them actually become wealthy and are driven sometimes to the next place in their life by the insecurity that was founded to begin with, and then they gain their confidence from there. How does it begin? Often that insecurity, because we're not born with insecurity. We're not born with a lack of self-confidence. It's life's events. It's the things that people say. It's wounds that we receive in life. It's failures that we experience. The words that are said to us and about us that have long-term effect on our confidence. And so today, I want to talk for a few moments because there are a lot of people, I believe, that they walk in fear. They walk in fear rather than confidence, rather than taking the steps and taking the risks that they should. Because faith is really a life of risk. And rather than taking the risks that they should, or rather they walk in fear. I heard many years ago about in Time magazine, there was a man who was pulled over. And he was pulled over for a traffic violation, and the police discovered that he was driving on a learner's permit and that he had had 220 learner's permits over 25 years. 220 learner's permits, because the first time he had a learner's permit, he went for the test and failed the test, so he never went for the test again. 25 years of fear, 25 years of lacking confidence. So I'm praying that you'll be awakened to walk in the confidence. Now listen, there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Arrogance really is based most of the time in insecurity. It's a facade that people wear. If you see anybody that they're really walking in some kind of arrogance, that they're acting better than everybody else, the reality is most of the time, it's that they're putting on some kind of a facade so that no one will know what's underneath all of that. Confidence comes from knowing who you are. Confidence comes from understanding who you are. And there are a lot of people in the world, they lean on the wrong stuff. And so I'm going to give you a few things that the world leans on to get confidence. Here's the first thing that the world leans on. They lean on appearance. How do I look? There's an appearance, there's a myth out there that if I look good, I must be doing good. If I look like things are going well, then things must be going well. And it's one of the bases for all the designer clothes and all of the designer stuff that we have in our lives. I have to say, most of what we see on television and Hollywood is a myth about that stuff. It again is that facade. What you wear has really nothing to do with the core value of who you are. Here's what Proverbs 31, verse 30 says, this out of the Living Bible. Charm can be deceptive and beauty doesn't last. Somebody say amen if you know beauty doesn't last. Let me just tell you, if you're under 30, you don't understand that yet. If you're over 30, if you're over 40, which one day I will be, you start to understand that things relocate. You know? Things that were once north are now south, you know? I heard about two elderly gentlemen that were out golfing, and there was a elderly streaking woman, you know, a streaker, anybody remember, running through the golf course, and the first guy said to the other guy, said, did you see that? Did you see what that woman had on? And the other guy said, no, but whatever it was, it need ironing. First Samuel 17:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God places very little, in fact, I would almost be bold to say, God places no emphasis on how we look. There are a lot of people today, there are people, celebrities, that they want us to look like them. They want to start a trend of how things look, and they're worried that we'll look like them or won't look like them, and they have makeup artists. Listen, it doesn't matter. Let me just say this to you about the people who are celebrities. They don't look like that either. Honestly, if you see their pictures without makeup, and they carry like a makeup artist with them wherever they go. I heard Kim Kardashian, before she ever takes one of those spontaneous selfies that she does, that her makeup artists have to touch her up, and then she does, for to get one selfie, she takes over 50 selfies to get one. And here's the deal is then we try to compare ourselves to that, and the reality is she doesn't look like that either. She's just framed that out. So what you look like and how you look, that's not the best way, because looks can be deceiving. The way a person looks doesn't necessarily tell you what they have inside of them. It doesn't show what they have. I heard about a scrawny guy that was going to apply to be a lumberjack. And when he went in, he was a little guy. And the guy that was doing the interview said, you can't be a lumberjack. You're just way too small. I mean, you can't manage the axe. And the guy said, give me 5 minutes and I'll show you. And sure enough, in 5 minutes, he chopped down a tree. And the guy said, how did you do that? And he said, where did you learn to do that? And he said, did you ever hear of the Sahara Forest? He said, no, I heard there was a Sahara Desert. He said, it was a forest before I got there. You can't judge a person's appearance. Here's the second thing that you can't judge a person by is acquisitions. Acquisitions don't bring confidence. A lot of people try to prove what their worth is by what they own. If their car was made in Europe, if the shoes that they're wearing are a designer pair of shoes, if the stuff that they have has a designer name, or if it's made out of genuine leather, if it has Versace on it. People, they try to get their self-worth out of what they own. Psychology Today did a survey of 20,000 people. And 74% of those people agreed that money is how we keep score about how we feel about ourselves. 74% of people in America. Here's the thing about it is the stuff that you own doesn't define who you are. It really doesn't. I've watched people who were mediocre athletes, and they try to buy the expensive equipment so that they'll be like the person who is endorsing that expensive equipment. And the reality about it is you can give a piece of mediocre equipment to an excellent athlete, and they'll still win. Because the winning is on the inside of them, not in what they're wearing. It's not in what they own. Here's what Proverbs 11, verse 7 says. Confidence placed in riches comes to nothing. You can have $1 million and still feel like absolutely nothing. The significance of your life is not based on your bank account. What happens when the stock market goes down by 1,000 points? What happens to your self-confidence then? It can't be based off of riches, okay? Your self-confidence can't be based off of achievements. I know this will mess with some folks. Jeremiah chapter 9 says this in the 23rd verse. The Lord says, wise men should not boast of their wisdom, nor strong men of their strength, nor rich men of their wealth. If anyone wants to boast, he should boast that he knows me and understands me. We as Americans, we want to boast about IQ points. We want to boast about bank accounts. We want to boast about achievements, that we were the winner. We're better, bigger, doing more than anyone else. And here's what he said. If you want to brag about something, if you want to find an identity in something, find your identity by knowing me. Luke 16, verse 15, Jesus says this, for what men think is of great value is worth nothing in God's sight. You have to learn, are you ready? You have to learn to like the person that God created in order for you to actually have self-confidence. So today I'm going to spend a few moments. I want to talk to you about how to get self-confidence, how to get some self-esteem, and the things that can take their toll on that. See, the three things that I just talked about for these last few moments, they really boil down to this. It's what other people think about you, how other people perceive you. So you can get your confidence based on, are you ready? And you can write these down. I'm not sure if we even left a line there for this. But you can get your self-confidence or your self-esteem based on what other people think of you or what other people say of you. Or you can get your confidence based on what God says about you. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe others? There are some people here today, you've walked through bad relationships. You've come out of difficult homes. Your parents were not affirming parents. And the reality is if you walked into your life, into your future, carrying some wounds, what other people have said about you. But let me tell you, what they said about you is not what counts. It's what God says about you. Because see, God has a unique plan for your life. I want you to write these three things down. God has a unique plan for your life. He made you unique. Jesus died for you, so he makes you to stand upright in God. And then ultimately, he helps you with his plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. We're going to take a moment here, and I want us to read in Mark the 6th chapter. And Jesus gives us an idea of how to walk, not in arrogance, but how to walk in confidence, how to walk in this esteem, how to view ourselves, not based on the way other people view us, but by the way that God views us. Jesus, at this point in his ministry, Mark the 6th chapter, he's in the early stages of his ministry, and he's performed some miracles, and now he decides to go back to his hometown. And when he visits his hometown, they invite him to speak at the synagogue. That's kind of the tradition there. So I'm going to read in Mark the 6th chapter in the very first verse. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? That he even does miracles. And then somebody speaks up and says, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? Isn't he just common? Isn't he just one of us? And here's the deal is Jesus came to be like men, but the truth was there was something about him that was not like men. He had a job from God. God defined who Jesus was. And so here's the deal. God defined who Jesus was and what he was going to do when he came to this earth. So here's the first thing I want you to write down, if you would. Don't let anyone else define you. They saw him as a carpenter. They saw him as a local boy. They saw him as just somebody who was just common. But he saw himself as the Son of God. He saw himself as somebody who had a destiny. He saw himself as somebody who was above what other people were saying about him. And he refused to be defined what other people, the people that didn't understand him, he refused to be defined by them. It doesn't matter what people say about you. You can't be defined by what other people think about you. You have to be yourself. Every person in this room, you have to be yourself. And one of the things that I had to learn early in my ministry was I had to learn to be myself. One of the things that you try to do is you watch great preachers. I'm still a preacher watcher. Like, I love to watch preachers, and I study what they say and how they say it and what makes them successful. So one of the things that I figured I could do as a young preacher was I'd just do what they did exactly. So I'd watch T.D. Jakes, and then I'd get up to preach, and my God, I was going to preach like T.D. You know? There was another guy, his name was Paul Walker. He pastored, Paul Laverne Walker, he pastored Mount Paran in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was really the first man that I ever knew that had an earned degree in psychology in the ministry. He was genius. But when he'd preach, he'd always go, amen, amen, and amen. Somebody put your hands together and praise God. So I figured, like, that works for him. So I started incorporating, amen, amen, and amen. Somebody put your hands together and praise God. And I'm like, well, that really didn't work for me either. Then there was another guy. His name was Larry McDaniel. I love Larry McDaniel. Larry McDaniel is one of my favorite preachers. But here's the deal is Larry always preached with this little quiver in his voice. When he was preaching, it didn't matter what he was saying. It always sounded like he was just had that little thing in his voice. And that man, I'm like, I got to get me a quiver in my voice. And then honestly, I'd come to church and when I was young, and I'm like, I'd go home and I didn't feel like I was actually a part of what was taking place because all I was doing was being somebody else. You have to learn to be you. A friend of mine said to me a couple of years ago, she said, at the age of 50, I finally learned to be comfortable in my own skin. You have to learn to be you. There have been people who have come up to me and said, Pastor Paul, you ought to preach like that guy. And I'm like, did it, tried it. Doesn't work for me. I have to be me. I have to be the person that God called me to be. I had to find my voice. Romans, the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse says this, try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of faith God has given you. Estimate who you are. Honestly, I'm not called to be them. I'm called to use the gifts that God has given me and do what I'm supposed to do. Here's what they said. They said, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And listen to this next point. They took offense at him. Verse number 3. Here's my point. Don't let others judge you. Don't let others define you. Don't let others judge you. They took an offense at him. Now, why were they offended him? Because they had a preconceived notion of who Jesus should be. There are people that have a preconceived notion of who you should be, where you came from, how much education you have, what kind of family you came from, and that's what they did to Jesus. They judged him. They minimized what he could do because they knew his history. But what did Jesus do? He didn't respond. He didn't respond the way they thought he would respond. He said, a prophet is without honor. I can't get honor here in my own hometown. He was basically saying, some people just don't get it. There are some people, they just don't get it. They don't get you. They don't understand you. They don't understand the way you approach things. They don't understand why you're in church on this cold Sunday morning. They don't understand why you give your tithes. They don't understand why you pray. They don't understand. Even people in church, sometimes they just don't. There are just some people that just don't get it. Anybody ever known somebody that just doesn't get it? And I'm telling you, have you ever been seen? Because you know, there are some people just in general, they don't get it. You don't think that there are people that are like, well, let me just tell you, this is one of the things that always amazes me. This is what's written on a Bic lighter. Ignite lighter away from face. There are some people that just don't get it. You know, on a blow dryer, do not use this appliance while sleeping. There are some people that just don't get it. On a Rowenta iron, never iron clothes while on the body. This is on hair coloring. Do not use as an ice cream topping. Some people just don't get it. Vacuum cleaners, do not pick up gasoline or flammable liquids. That's actually on my vacuum cleaner. Do not use to pick up anything that is currently burning. Some people just don't get it. On an auto windshield visor, warning, do not drive with the sunshade in place. Just a few more, just bear with me. Computers, keyboard not detected, press 1 to continue. Some people just don't get it. Here we go. Just the last few, I'll go ahead and finish my list out since I'm this far. I'm committed. Here we go. On a toilet plunger, do not use near power lines. I have to tell you, I don't get it. I mean, it's just that simple. My last one, Dremel electric tool. This product is not intended as a dental drill. Some people just don't get it. There are some things that seem obvious to everyone else, but they just don't get it. You can't allow yourself to be judged or defined by somebody who just doesn't get it. You have to do what God calls you to do. Be prepared because not everybody's going to get it. I heard of a pastor out in Texas. It was in Arizona a few years ago. I was reading a book by him, and he said, when my church grew, I thought everyone would be happy for me. And he said, I found it to be just the opposite. He said, it was at that moment I found out who my enemies really were, and some of them were people I called friends. There are some people that just don't get you. They don't get who God called you to be. Remember, there was a man by the name of David in the Bible. His brothers didn't get him. God called him to be a servant. God called him to be a shepherd. God called him to be a king. And ultimately, when it came time for him to get into the biggest battle of his life, his brothers said to him, who do you think you are that you've come down here to this place? Go back and tend the sheep. His brothers just didn't get who he was. They couldn't see who he was. And I have to tell you today, there are some people that they just don't get it. But that shouldn't stop you from doing what you're supposed to do in Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number three, don't let others hold you back. Don't let others hold you back. Verse number 4, Jesus said to them, only in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Verse number 5, he says, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people. Now, you have to remember, Jesus, everywhere he went, everyone got healed. But yet here, he could only lay his hands on a few people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus knew that if he stayed where he was, he would never accomplish what he was supposed to accomplish. There are some people that they'll never see what God wants to do in you. And you should still walk in confidence, understanding that God wants to do, awaken yourself to the fact that God wants to do something great in you, and don't let others hold you back. There are people that I've watched in ministry, and there have been people that I've watched that in one location, they just didn't succeed, but they went somewhere else. And when they went somewhere else, they succeeded. And I have to tell you, many times it's just simply because the people that were there had a perspective of that individual, and they couldn't accomplish. Listen, if it happened in the life of Jesus, it'll happen in your life and my life too. So you know what they did? They moved on. I'm going to read this passage out, and then I'm going to finish out here in just a few moments. Verse number 7, calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over all evil spirits. And like he was like, you're just not going to stop me. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money for your belts. Don't put your confidence in the stuff you're going to carry with you. Don't worry about that stuff, because God's going to supply. Some of you, you're worried about tomorrow. You're worried, like, am I going to make it? And listen, stop storing up the things that can't sustain you anyway. I have to tell you, during this week when the stock market was taking its toll, and I'll just tell you straight ahead, you know, finances for us have been a little bit, they've been very tight for us. And then I'm watching the stock market, and I'm like, people are going to give even less money. And you know what? Then finally, after praying and just kind of praying through to the Spirit, I was like, Lord, this isn't my building, and this isn't my church, and that's not my property back there, and that's not my plan. This belongs to you. I'm not going to carry any of this stuff with me. All I'm going to do is do what you tell me to do. And honestly, I'm not going to store any of this stuff up. I'm going to invest everything that I have into what you've called us to do. And so, guys, here's what he's telling them. Don't worry about it. Don't get so concerned about that. Don't put your faith in the little stuff that can't really do any good for you. Don't take a bag. Don't take bread. Don't take a staff. No money or belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. And whenever you enter into a house, stay there until you leave that town. Verse number 11, I just want you to read this with me. And if at any place they will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Then they went out and preached that people should repent, and they drove out demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They went out and did what they were supposed to do. But, you know, I love that passage, and I just talked about this about 6 months ago, but it's worth coming back to it. Jesus said that if you go somewhere and you're doing something, they don't receive you, don't get yourself all twisted up like a pretzel over that. Don't quit. Just shake the dust off of your feet. And honestly, he wasn't saying that like with some sense of vitriol, like, I'm the Lord, curse you in the name of Jesus. He wasn't saying it. It was just like, shake it off and move on. Just simply move on. God has more ministry. There's somebody down the road that's going to receive what you have to do. So shake it off. Some of you, you've walked into this place with wounds and hurts from previous relationships. You've walked into church with wounds and hurts and doubts from previous churches. There are some people here today, you're in a marriage and you're carrying with you wounds and hurts and lack of self-esteem and lack of self-confidence based off of things that other people have said, rejections from other people. And I have a word for you today. It's time for you to simply shake that stuff off. Don't let what happened in your past determine what your future is going to look like, because God has a plan for your future. Amen. There's a man, and I'm going to close here in just a few moments. There's a man by the name of Harold Sherman wrote a book on how to turn failure into success. And he gives these points. And I will never give up so long as I know I'm right. I will believe that all things will work out for me if I hang in there until the end. I will be courageous and undismayed in the face of odds. I will not permit anyone to intimidate me or deter me from my goals. I will fight to overcome all physical handicaps and setbacks. I will try again and again and yet again to accomplish what I desire. I will take new faith and resolution from the knowledge that all successful men and women have had to fight defeat and adversity. I will never surrender to discouragement or despair, no matter what seeming obstacles may confront me. There are some of you, you've just simply quit because the confidence has been knocked out of you. Today, I'm here to tell you, get up and do it again. Get up and work again. Get up and work on that call. Move forward in the area that God's called you. I'm going to give you, that was Harold Sherman's list. I'm going to give you my list. These are my, are you ready? This is Pastor Paul's practical points. Maybe I'll write a book on this one day. Pastor Paul's practical points. Are you ready? Never say negative things about yourself. Stop saying negative things about yourself. Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 37th verse says, "For by your words you will be acquitted and by your words you will be condemned." I'm around people and I listen to them. And there are sometimes even when I'm guilty, I'm going like, that was stupid. You're stupid. And I'm like, the Lord's been convicted me. One day I was really kind of giving myself a good once over negative talk about something I was doing. And I was like, geez, stop that. That's just the stupidest thing. Stop that. And honestly, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I don't say those words a lot, but it was like God was standing right there and spoke to me and he said, quit speaking to what I've bought with my own blood in that fashion. Like, he thought me valuable enough to buy me with his blood, and I'm demeaning that. Today, stop speaking negative things to yourself. Start to speak the word of God because God loves you. And here's what Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Speak good things about yourself. Speak good things about yourself. Here's the next one. Are you ready? Never compare yourself with other people. Never compare yourself with other people. You're not supposed to live their life. You're not supposed to answer their call. You're supposed to be the person that God's called you to be. I read this scripture already, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you again. Try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of faith that God has given you. Know who you are. Know the call that God has on you and do that. Here's a few more of Pastor Paul's practical points. Focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Focus on your potential instead of your limitations. I have to tell you, that's the conversation most of us have. We talk about our limitations and we forget to tell. Listen, I'm capable to do that. I can do this. I have the potential to make that take place. I can lead. I can talk. I can sing. I can sell. I can do those things. And instead, what we do is we limit ourselves by talking ourselves down in our limitations. Here we go. Keep your flaws in perspective. Keep your flaws in perspective. You know what? Sometimes I question God's judgment, but honestly, he knew who I was when he called me. Yeah, like, he knew that I'm messed up, you know? So some of you're looking at me like, yeah, folks, let me just tell you, I'm messed up, and I'm not the only one in this room that's messed up. But here's the deal is this, I can't allow the flaws of who I am. I'm going to work on them, but I can't allow them to prevent me from doing what I'm supposed to do. The work I'm supposed to do is not my work, it's his work. So my flaws should not stop his work. Keep your flaws in perspective. Here's the next one. Are you ready? Find something that you like to do well and do it over and over. Man, I have to tell you, this is my American Idol syndrome. There are some people that they want to do what they should not do. They want to do what they cannot do. Seriously, you know, there are some of you folks that you have gifts and calls that you do it and you do it so well. There's a woman that I know that she honestly, she wants to be like a faith healer preacher. and she wants to pray for people, and she wants to stand on a stage and teach people, but no one's asking her, because honestly, what she says isn't all that good. But you know what she does? She bakes cakes. And when people are sick, she takes those cakes to their house, and she puts scriptures on them, and she prays over them. And you know what? Honestly, she does that well. If I were her, I'd do more of that. Whatever it is that you do well, walk in that gift. Don't have gift envy of what somebody else does well. Do what God's called you to do. And then here's the last one. Are you ready? Have the courage to be different and please God first. Have the courage to be different and please God first. Galatians, the first chapter, Paul writes, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Some of you need to shake it off. Some of you need to shake off wounds. Some of you need to shake off the fear of a previous failure. Some of you need to shake off something that's down inside of you that somebody's spoken over you. Even they've convinced you, and now you say it of yourself, that everything in your life is in your past and there's nothing still ahead for you. I have to tell you today, God still has a plan for you. If you're alive, if you're breathing, then there's a work that God wants to do in you and through you. And so today, I'm going to remind you that God's made you unique. He died for you, and that he has a plan for you. My last scripture. Are you ready? Philippians, the fourth chapter and the 16th verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to do it because Christ is in me. I want to pray with you today. Dear Heavenly Father, there are people here today that need to know that you are with them. And the wounds and the hurts that they've carried and the baggage that they've picked up trying to get their self-esteem and their self-perspective, compensate for insecurities that have taken place in those areas, in other areas, through relationships and words that have been spoken. Dear Lord, we need your Spirit to come and heal people's hearts today, to lift up our eyes and awaken us to who you've called us to be, your sons and daughters, that we're who you say we are. We're not who the world says we are or what the enemy says we are, but instead, Lord, we're your children. And so now I ask you that by the power of your Spirit, you'll come and bring your confidence in us, that you called us and chose us, and that we'll walk in that in the name Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me today. And I'm going to ask you to do something I don't normally ask you to do. It's been a long time since I've asked you to do this. I'm going to ask you to find a group of like two or three people. Not big, not 10, 15 people, two or three people. And I want you to pray for them that they'll walk in the confidence that God has for them. That their eyes will be opened, that they won't walk in fear, that they won't live by insecurity, but instead they'll walk in the confidence that God has.